Do you know that you know that you know? Is God really real? Is the Bible really true? Is your salvation a true reality? If you're not completely confident, fully assured of your relationship with Jesus, you might not like the reality of how you act and speak with your family on a daily basis. But you can know for sure. Oh, and keep listening today for some stories of skydiving and the day 14 years ago that I almost went to heaven. These were not on the same day, but there's still some pretty good stories.
Welcome to the Rest in the Homeschool Trench podcast, a place for homeschool mamas seeking to cultivate victorious rest in the midst of daily homeschool battles. I'm your host, Amy Smith, and I want to offer hope that in Jesus, we can experience victorious rest.
Last week, we considered a hard question. On your average homeschool day, is your homeschool united in love? If we're honest, it frequently is not. So what do we as moms tend to do? Well, I think we tend to focus on the outer behavior and the words that are being spoken, both our children's outer behavior and our own outer behavior. So last week we looked at Colossians 3, verses 12 through 17, where we're told to put on a heart of compassion and kindness. But we asked the question, how do we do these things? I was really looking at verses 15 to 17 of Colossians 3 that we found we're to let the peace of Christ rule in our hearts, and we're to let the word of Christ richly dwell within us. So if the peace of Christ rules our hearts and the word of Christ dwells in us richly, I think we'll find that we practically live out of the overflow of a heart of love. So why don't we live this way? Why do we as homeschool moms still get frustrated and angry? Why do we still act out of our own selfishness, pride, and bitterness? Well, I want to go back to Colossians today to continue thinking about this idea of how can we really live in love with our families on our regular, messy homeschool days. So if we go back to the book of Colossians, what we're reading is a letter that Paul wrote to one of the churches. He wrote this probably around 25 or 30 years after Jesus died on the cross and was resurrected. And in this letter, Paul has a strong focus on who Jesus is because of some teaching that was entering the church at that time that said you need to know the right thing and you need to do the right thing. Essentially, your salvation is about your efforts. So Paul is writing this letter and saying, no, it's all about Jesus. He opens Colossians 1, verses 13 through 20 by saying, "For he rescued us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son," that's Jesus, "in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created, both in the heavens and on earth, visible and invisible." And he goes on and says that it was the Father's good pleasure for all the fullness to dwell in him, in Jesus, and through him to reconcile all things to himself, having made peace through the blood of his cross. Through him, I say, whether things on earth or things in heaven. So as we are reading in Colossians, we have to keep in mind this focus of Jesus being central in all things of our Christian lives. Well, Paul goes on, and in chapter 2, verses 2 and 3, he gives us this prayer that he has for believers. And he says, "I pray that their hearts may be encouraged, having been knit together in love and attaining to all the wealth that comes from the full assurance of understanding, resulting in a true knowledge of God's mystery, that is, Christ himself, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge." You know, I think that we need to start with a focus of living out of love by this phrase in here that Paul says that we have been knit together in love. And you have to look at the verb tense here. This is past perfect. It's something that's been completed. In Jesus, we as believers are united in love. In 1 Corinthians, we read that we are the body of Christ. In Romans 8, we read that nothing can separate us from the love of Jesus. So there's this reality that as Christians, we are united in love. But we still don't always live as if that is true. Why? Maybe it's because we're not completely confident. You know, in Colossians 2:2, Paul used this phrase. He talked about a full assurance of understanding. Well, I've been looking at this word full assurance a lot lately, and it kind of reminds me of some of my own personal story. So if I go back to when I was a 5-year-old little girl, I remember praying a prayer to accept Jesus into my heart. Once I got a little bit older, I actually got tired of being known as the good girl and always making good grades and never getting in trouble. So I decided I was going to change some of those things and started rebelling and started failing things in school on purpose and really started pursuing boys and relationships with them as part of my rebellion of not wanting to be the good girl anymore. Well, over time, when I was 14, came to that point of just really wondering if I had meant that prayer when I was a little 5-year-old girl, and really came to understand how much I needed Jesus and how much I needed salvation that he offered through what he did on the cross. And it was at that point that I decided whether or not I had really meant that prayer of salvation when I was little. I was drawing the line in the sand, and I chose to follow Jesus and chose to receive the salvation that he offered to me. So I've truly been walking in a relationship with Jesus since then. But back in my 20s, when my children were little, I reached this place where I grew weary of doing good. Felt like I was doing a lot of the right things, putting in my effort to know the right thing, do the right thing. But I had a lot of doubts on the inside. I had a lot of questions. Is God really real? Can I really trust that the Bible is true? Am I really saved and going to heaven? Now, in that season, I also started dealing with a lot of depression, anxiety, anger. I was really struggling deep inside, though, with that doubt. I needed full assurance. Was my relationship with Jesus real? I remember this one day when I was washing dishes, standing in the kitchen sink and watching my little children around me and thinking, you know, God, this is the season of life I've always dreamed of. I've always wanted to be a mom of young children. And I don't like it. It wasn't so much a question of being a mom that I was wrestling with. It was a question deep inside my heart of, who am I? Who is God? Do I really know that I know that I know that what I'm living is true? Going back to Colossians 2, Paul says that we can have this full assurance of understanding that results in a true knowledge of God's mystery. So I started chasing this word for knowledge that Paul uses here. And it's this Greek word, epignosis. Now, I apologize to any Greek scholars who are listening because I'm sure I'm not pronouncing that completely correctly. But this word means a knowledge or a precise, correct knowledge of the divine, of the things of God. Well, how do we get this sort of knowledge? If we trace some other places that this Greek word is used in Scripture, we find it in the book of 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy 3 verse 7 talks about people who are always learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. So you can see in this verse, it's possible for us to be learning, but not have true knowledge of who God is. But back up to the previous chapter, in 2 Timothy 2 verse 7, we read that The Lord will give you understanding in everything. That word understanding is the same word that's translated knowledge in some other places. So we see here that having true knowledge and understanding of God is a gift. It's something that the Lord will give us. And we know from other places in Scripture that if we ask God, He'll give us all good things. Well, moving forward in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 25 says that God will grant us repentance leading to the knowledge of truth. I think here we really find the key for being able to have this true knowledge of who God is and whether our relationship with Him is real. It's repentance. It's admitting, God, I've been trying to do this on my own. I've been trying to know the right thing, do the right thing. Those are good things to know and to do, but I've been trusting in myself more than I've been trusting in You. And when we reach that place of repentance and we ask God to give us knowledge and to give us understanding, He'll do it. Now, if we go back to the verse in Colossians 2:2, there's another word that I want to talk about. And it's where Paul says that we can have full assurance. So I looked up this Greek word also, and it's the word plerophoria, and it means a full assurance or a certain confidence. That's what I want to have about my faith in Jesus. Well, this is the same word that's used in Hebrews 10, verse 22, that says we can draw near to God's throne with a sincere heart and full assurance of faith. In fact, let me read several verses there, going back to verse 19. Therefore, brethren, since we have confidence to enter the holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which He inaugurated for us through the veil, that is, His flesh, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a sincere heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for He who promised is faithful. But as I continued looking into this word, full assurance, I found this beautiful picture that it actually means to be under full sail. It's a shipping term for sailing ships that had the sail raised and are under full sail, that full assurance, full confidence. You know, we can raise that mast, we can raise the sail, but only God can provide the wind to propel our ships forward. That's how I want to live, with full assurance of faith. So I wanted to share a couple of stories with you about skydiving and the day that I nearly went to heaven. Not the same story, not the same day, but they both really illustrate how we can live with this full assurance of our faith in Jesus. I'm actually going to hold on to those stories until next week. For today, I want to leave you with one step of just asking this question. Do you have full assurance of your faith? I hope you'll join me next time as I share my story of how I did come to this place of having full assurance. And I can confidently say, I know Jesus is real. My relationship with Him is real. And until then, I want to pray that God will give you full assurance of your faith and that you'll practically see that lived out in your daily life as you're homeschooling your children.